We thank you for how your presence has just soothed our soul today. How many of you have felt exceptionally close to the Lord this morning? Just the sweet, sweet fragrance of Christ. And I'm reminded of the fact, Lord, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Lord, in our weakness, Christ's strength shows up. You did not choose the wisest, the strongest, the most noble, the rich, and the famous. You chose ordinary people to bring the gospel message to the world. What an amazing thing that is, Lord, that here we are, Father, just ordinary people, but you loved us. You chose us. Somebody say thank you. You loved us. You chose us, God. Hallelujah. And even died for us before we even ever knew you. Bless this word to our hearts. Anoint us, O Father, to hear the word of the Lord today. Just say, may my ears be open. May my heart be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying today. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. I'd like to begin a series of teachings on the subject, training for victory in spiritual battles. Training for victory in spiritual battles. We're going to share this today, and God willing, the next couple of weeks. I believe that this is a timely word because people need to realize and people need to understand that the battles we're facing, not only individually, but even as a family, as a country, as a community, there's some spiritual warfare going on. Somebody say amen. I mean, just watch television this past week and see what's happening in America, how much fighting there is, how much division there is in our country, and all of that's happening. So we know there are dark forces that are trying to circumvent or try to disrupt the plan of God. Ultimately, they will fail. Somebody say amen. But we have to make sure that we close the door. We don't leave any opportunity, not even a crevice or a crack in our armor to allow the enemy to take advantage of us. For a simple example, like anger. Being angry all the time is an invitation to the enemy to do his dirty work. Being involved in secret sin is an enemy for the devil to have a heyday with your life. So we have a part to play in this. Now, God does the heavy part. He does the defeat of Satan. He's already under God's feet. But we do have a part to play in our training for spiritual victory. And understanding is beginning to see our problems and the issues that we face in the context of a spiritual battle. A lot of times we just think, man, I always seem to run into trouble with this one situation, or this person always gets on my nerve, or I can't seem to get past this in my life. Maybe we haven't understood that there's some spiritual dark forces at work that are trying to hold us back. We have to be aware. We have to be alert. Now, we don't spend a lot of time and we don't major in the devil's dirty work. We major in Jesus. All right? So I'm not the type of person that's trying to get people to be afraid and look under every rock for a demon under every rock. Okay? I'm not doing that. But we have to be smart enough to know the enemy's strategy, to know his personality, his nature, and the way he works. We got to know our enemy. Okay, we have to mostly know Jesus, but you also have to be aware of what's going on around us. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Pastor Angela included this last week, I believe, in her scripture, or at least alluded to it in what she was teaching last week. A final word, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Hallelujah. Still standing firm after the battle. Thank you for helping us in this word today, Lord. I shared this with the leadership on Thursday night. We had a Zoom meeting, that the pressure of these times are not so much unprecedented. There have been other times that the church has gone through testing, trials, persecution, much worse than what we're facing here in America. The thing about pressure is, pressure doesn't so much define us, but it reveals what we're made of. When you put pressure on something, if you go to stand on something, if it's not strong enough to hold you up, guess what? You're going to fall down. You step on a piece of wood or a chair, you sit on a chair that's kind of wobbly, you want to make sure that chair can hold you up. So pressure, and we're facing a lot of it right now, in these times, reveals our inner strengths or weaknesses. This is a good time for the church to do a little bit of a checklist, to make sure my life is in alignment with God, to make sure my life is built upon a strong foundation. Because I cannot promise going ahead after November 3rd that this country is going to be all hunky-dory. Is there such a word? I don't know. I just made that up. Things could get worse. And I know, you know, I am a very optimistic person. I believe in the goodness of God. My whole life has been defined, really, by my hope in God's goodness. So I'm not a calamity hollerer. I'm not one of these, you know, people that's trying to scare everybody. But I do want to be honest. We are facing some real bad stuff out there. There's some real evil that's prowling around, seeking whom they may devour. But thank God he has prepared us and given us all the equipment, all the armor, all the training, all the strategy we need to be victorious if we should choose to use it. If you don't use the weapons, how are you going to win? If we don't arm ourselves with faith and arm ourselves with the righteousness of Christ and with a new mind and the word of God in our mouth, then there's so many other things we're going to talk about. We need to understand our spiritual armor and our spiritual strategy. Let the church say amen. Amen. Last week, Pastor Angela talked about how David, with just a sling and a shepherd's staff, struck down Goliath, who was over 9 feet tall, who was not only a big dude, but had to wear all this armor. And she pointed out the fact that if he was that big, why did he have to wear 200 pounds of armor? And she concluded, and we all agreed, that he was a big sissy. Come on now. Goliath was a big sissy. Because if you're already 9 feet tall, why do you got to wear 150 pounds of armor? But you know what? David had armor also. He was wearing armor that Goliath didn't know about. Woo, he said to Goliath, he said, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of heaven, whom you have defied, whom you have insulted. And in his name, you will be defeated. Somebody say, in God's name, in Jesus' name, the enemy is defeated. He had the name of the Lord. He understood the nature of God. He understood and had a track record with God. He told King Saul, when I was a shepherd boy years ago, well, he was only a teenager, but he had a lion and a bear come against the sheep, and he struck them and killed them, and God helped him to overcome the lion and the bear. With God, all things are possible. With God, you can overcome. As young as David was, he already had a track record with God. He already had an experience whereby he understood and had confidence that if God helped me to protect these sheep, how much more important is the entire nation of Israel than a flock of sheep? You got Goliath that's challenging the armies of Israel, and the nation of Israel wants to, these Philistines want to destroy the nation of Israel. Well, if God cared enough about the sheep to help me deliver my sheep from the lion and the bear, Goliath is just going to be like one of those enemies that's going to go down. He's coming down. But see, David had that mindset. He had an understanding. As young as he was, He understood the true nature of the confrontation. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He understood the true nature of the confrontation was good versus evil. Is good versus evil. I'm on the good side. You're on the evil side. You're going down. Somebody say amen. So David was prepared with the right kind of armor. Nehemiah, the cupbearer for the king, had prepared himself by repenting, weeping. When he heard that Jerusalem was burned, the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. His heart was broken. Yeah. How did Nehemiah prepare spiritually to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? In a very unusual way. Mm-hmm. He wept. Wow. He confessed the sins of Israel. Yeah. Yeah. He fasted. Yeah. He prayed. Yeah. You see what I'm getting at? There are preliminary armor, preliminary tools, and preliminary types of spiritual protection and spiritual armament that sometimes we don't see as preparation to defeat the enemy. David had an armor that you could not see. Nehemiah was preparing himself not by saying, well, if I had enough money, I could hire enough troops, and then I could hire, if I had enough money, I could hire the carpenters, I can hire the stonemasons. But instead, he humbled himself before the Lord, and he found favor with the king. Woo, come on, you missed that point right there. He humbled himself before the Lord, and he found favor with the king. He found favor with the king. And the king gave him everything he needed. Your king will give you everything you need to succeed. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Nehemiah succeeded because he was prepared internally, spiritually. And so the greatest battle in life is not necessarily feeling happy or fulfilled. If I could only be happy. Have you ever heard people say that? If I could only get people to like me or accept me. I gave up on that a long time ago. That doesn't mean you should be nasty. I'm not saying that. I need a better job. I need to meet the right person. If I only had the right person in my life, if I could only be happy, if I could only catch a break, if I would only get a raise, if this or that, those are not necessarily your battle. Those may be the physical realm of your battle. But there's a spiritual dimension that controls the physical dimension. Hallelujah. There are spiritual battles in the mind and the heart where the enemy is trying to sow seeds of doubt and fear and defeat us and rob us of the life and purpose and vision that God has for our life. Yeah. Yeah. For Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But there's a thief out there. Somebody say, there's a thief out there. And you cannot just go to sleep and act like he's not around. You cannot ignore him. He's not a thief who will just be ignored. He will take advantage if you ignore him. I'm not asking you to be afraid. I'm not saying, if anything, I'm trying to make you alert and aware so you can be equipped for victory. Somebody say, I want to be equipped for victory. Let me just give you a little snapshot. He was created as a finite being. He was one of the angels. Satan was never on a par with God. God is eternally existent, eternally existent. He is omniscient. He knows all. He's supernatural. He's omnipotent. He's immutable. That means he doesn't change. He's everlasting. Satan was created as one of the hierarchy of angels. But when he rebelled against God, he was kicked out of heaven. And the Bible says, I'm fast forwarding, when Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again, God defeated him and made an open spectacle of Satan by triumphing over him through the cross. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, even the worst dirty trick Satan could pull was to try to kill Jesus, kill God, and put him on a cross. God used the dirtiest trick of Satan to create the greatest victory. Hallelujah. Salvation for mankind. Hallelujah. Now we cherish the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. I will cherish the old rugged cross. Hallelujah, because there, the priceless Son of God won my victory. He rules in the darkness around this world. His power is limited. He is the prince in the power of darkness, and he is behind the worst evils that mankind has seen. He specializes in pride and rebellion against God's authority. He is a liar, a deceiver, an accuser. He can disguise himself as someone or something that sounds reasonable and sounds like it's for a good cause. Like he said, like an angel of light, like he said to Eve, maybe if you eat this fruit, you're going to become wise. This is a good thing. Just like you have all kinds of people on the internet and on television espousing all kinds of ideas. If you don't have a discerning mind, be careful. Be careful. Because there's a lot of falsehood that's being proclaimed out there. Satan traffics in the three big categories of sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. He looks for opportunities to stir up anger, jealousy, fear, and revenge. That's his environment. That's where he lives. He tries to stir up our lower instincts, get us to get even, get us to become angry, get us to feel like a nothing, like a nobody. And so we're going to try to prove that we're a somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. One of the most dangerous people to confront is somebody who has such low self-esteem that they have to prove that they're all that. Yeah. When you know that you're loved by God and that you belong to God, you don't have to prove to everybody who you are. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But this is where the enemy works in all of these areas, in the flesh, to stir up jealousy. Galatians 5, 19 and 20 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. Wow, what a list of the works of the flesh. But thank God for the fruits of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life results in love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, all of those, all right? There's nine of them. Church, what I'm trying to say this morning, everybody catch your breath for a second. What I'm trying to say this morning, there is a signal, an alarm that is going out from heaven. You know, I've been following the Lord for many years, and many of you here also have testified the same thing. Pastor, I don't know what's going on, but there's something in my spirit that is telling me you need to be prayerful. You need to be alert. You need to watch. You need to watch out. Be careful for deception. Be careful for falling asleep. Be careful for being deceived. I'm not the only one that's saying it. Other pastors are saying it as well. Now, more than ever, we need to be wise and well-trained in spiritual warfare. We need to know how to use our spiritual weapons and the armor God has provided for us to win the spiritual battles we face in this life on this earth. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, this is the Amplified, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. You know, the weapons of man, well, I'll show you who's the boss. You know, I'll sue you. There's a funny story about that. I'll tell you another time. But we don't use those weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. We destroy arguments or speculations. One translation says speculation. You know, the enemy loves speculate. Well, what if this happens? What if you try and you don't succeed? What if you show love to this person and they don't love you back? What if you say no, but no to sin, but everybody else thinks you're a fool? He tries to get you in your mind to speculate about negative things. But we need to take captive our mind in obedience to Christ. We destroy arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and purpose in obedience to Christ. So whatever it is you're thinking, whatever suggestions you feel in your mind, whatever imaginations you have, make sure that Christ is the Lord of those things. I had one pastor explain it this way. He says, and this is unusual, but he said, when I'm watching television, he says, I try to think of myself as having communion. I think he even said he put a communion cup on top of the TV set and some broken bread. And I'm asking myself, can I have intimacy with Christ at the same time as I'm watching this program? Ooh, come on now. As they say up in New York, come on now. Wow. Do you know the weapons of your warfare? There are many. I've already started with David, the shepherd boy. David was not your typical soldier. Neither was Gideon. Gideon had too many soldiers. He's going to fight all these Midianites. I forgot, 100, 200,000 Midianites against 32,000 Israelis. So Gideon's praying, and God says, you have too many soldiers. So right there, something tells you that spiritual warfare is not necessarily logical. Our human mind, it doesn't come from there. It comes from heaven. Just like a sling is so illogical to kill a giant with all of these weapons. To kill him with a stone and a sling is just ridiculous. So God tells Gideon, send them home. 22,000 go home. And now he has 10,000. God says, that's still too many. And I feel like, if that was me, if I was Gideon, I would say, God, please, enough already. I'm down to 10,000. Send them home. And see, God's strategies are not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. They're spiritual strategies. They're the pulling down of stronghold. They're divine. They're not the weapons of our flesh or the natural mind. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, he's got all these Assyrians, was it, coming after him? And God tells him, put the choir out. Put the worship team in front of the army. I sent a note to the worship team yesterday. I don't know how many of you got it. I said, greetings, warrior worshipers. You are not just worshipers, you are warriors. Hallelujah. Give a hand to our worship team. You are warriors. Jehoshaphat sends the choir out in front of the army, and the Assyrians were destroyed by God. God fought for them. Amen. That's a spiritual warfare right there. The first thing and the most important thing to remember is your identity in Christ. One of the greatest bastions of our spiritual confidence is who we are in Christ. Yeah. You remember when you were kids, there would be people sometimes, bullies, that would make fun of you. Who do you think you are? My dad drives a better car than your dad does. And we were always so worried about who we are. Who do I think I am? But a more important question is, who do I belong to? Whose I am? I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. And he never forsaketh his own. Say that with me. I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. And he never forsaketh his own. Why is your identity in Christ so important? Well, one very simple, obvious reason. God fights for his kids. When you belong to Jesus, you can guarantee that God will stick up for you, that he will fight for you, because you are his own. You are bought with a price. You are born again by the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now in you. God sees you now as his own son, as his own daughter. God will fight for you. You might say, yeah, but God, but what about when this happened? What about when that happened? He knows all the plans. He knows all the pieces of our life. And he's always working for our good. That's where trust comes in. Amen. Knowing all these things, Romans 8, 37 to 39, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, I want you to see this as a verse about spiritual warfare. Some of you are missing this. I hope maybe next week I'll sort of reinforce it a little bit. But we are more than conquerors by having the best education, the best health, the best parenting. No, through him who loved us. You get it? I'm a conqueror because of who loves me. Hallelujah! We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then in Romans 8, 31 to 34, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? No, we belong to God. If you're going to attack me, you're attacking my Father. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. No one can condemn. If the blood of Jesus has purchased my life, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the spirit of sin and death. Let the church say amen. As I close this morning, victory in spiritual battles is not always what you think. It has to do with your spiritual preparation, living a righteous life, making daily decisions that say yes to faith, yes to love, and yes to obedience. We talked about, you know, maturing in faith, love, and obedience last month. And the cumulative effect of those decisions, dozens of decisions on a daily basis, when your thoughts are becoming corrupt, you say, no, I replace it with something from the scripture. When fear wants to rule over my mind, I recite the scriptures. Hallelujah. When I'm tempted to start hating my brother or resenting somebody, I get on my knees and say, God, give me more love. Give me more love, Lord. Give me more love, Lord. Forgive me. When I'm tempted to try to prove that I'm somebody, I say, wait a minute, Lord, you've already chosen me. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. I don't have to prove anything. Hallelujah. I don't have to defend myself. Come on. These are all spiritual weapons, preparation, your identity, living a life that is daily surrendered to God. When you mess up, fess up, somebody said. Don't leave doors open and hide. Don't hide. Let the Holy Spirit shine his light in your heart. Listen, when God convicts us, it's a whole lot better than being convicted by the world. God will convict us because he doesn't want us to get judged by the world. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Yeah. Imagine trying to run a foot race, and you've got these ropes tied around your legs or around your arms. The sin that so easily entangles us. So throwing off sin and not allowing sin to rule over us is a spiritual strategy. It's a spiritual strategy. Living a righteous life is a secret weapon. Wow. I don't know if you've heard that before, but to God be the glory. He's teaching me this. Living a righteous life is a secret weapon. 2 Corinthians 6, and I close with this. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in trouble, hardship, and distress. Now watch this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, excerpts. In purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God. Now watch this. With weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left hand. Pastor Dave, whoever knew that righteousness was a weapon? I just read it from the Bible. Is anybody with me this morning? In purity, understanding, patience, and kindness. This sounds like someone who's living a holy life, a righteous life. Not perfect, but under the blood of Christ. Holy Spirit, sincere love, truthful speech, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. But I thought this was amazing that Paul says that living right with God, in a sense, is like armor, is like a weaponry. In those days, they had a shield. And the reason he talks about the left hand and the right hand, I did a little research on this, is because Paul was alluding to the shield and the sword. A soldier would hold a shield, typically with his left hand, and then a sword with his right hand. So Paul is saying, you need to have weapons of righteousness in the left hand and the right hand. Not a perfect life. No one here, starting with me, I'm raising my hand, I have no way close to a perfect life. No way close to sinless perfection. Not even close. So I don't want you to get the idea that, oh my goodness, I can never do this. No, this is about an honest person who's trying, an honest person who's being sincere, a person who, when they do make a mistake, admit it, and who doesn't allow any secret closet in their life where the devil could take up residence. Somebody say amen. This is a person who's walking humbly and righteously before God. Thou hast shown thee, O man, what is good. I have shown thee, O man, what is good. And what the Lord desires of you, that you would do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. A righteous life is a powerful, powerful weapon against the enemy. You are secure when your foundation is on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you're living as a son, you're living as a daughter of God, and your daddy's going to fight for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. My daddy's going to fight for me. I belong to the King. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. And instead of saying, well, the end of another service that was very thought-provoking, Pastor, it was encouraging. The takeaway from this is to think of spiritual warfare in a different way than you have prior to this time. I want to say that again. What the Lord put on my heart to say to you today, for you to absorb, for you to receive into your heart, is that spiritual victory is a lot broader. The weaponry we have, the strategies we have, the disciplines we have, are guaranteed to defeat the enemy if we understand and stay close to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. To your will, Lord. I'll say yes. Where he leads me, I will go. Where he leads me, I will go.
I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.
Pastor Angela, just join me on stage for a minute.
I'll say yes.
Go ahead, Brother Joe.
Lord, I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes. You will lead me. I will go.
Lord, it's our desire, all of us, Lord, my wife, myself, to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, to be vessels for your purpose, Lord. I don't know if this resonates with you, but I'm raising my hand right now. I want to be a vessel for noble purposes. I want to be somebody that God can trust. I want my life to be completely under His influence. I don't want to have any part of my life that's under the influence of the flesh or the world. I want my life to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Is there anybody with me this morning? These are very, very challenging words. Very, very challenging. It's not easy, but it is attainable. It is obtainable. A righteous life, a life that is fully surrendered to God. That's what I want, Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Pastor Angela.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we've heard from your word today, Lord. Let it begin with us. If you mean it, just say it in your heart. Let it begin with me, Lord. Let it begin with me. If there's something even with somebody in this auditorium, I don't know why I'm saying this. I felt like shaking this today, but it keeps coming to me. If it's somebody in your own family or someone in the church, don't let the enemy take advantage. Don't let the enemy crouch at the door and slither in. Close the door. Let's all close the doors in our life that the enemy wants to slither in. Thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Help us to remember in those times, Lord, to discern, Lord, that we're under attack and to put on the armor of God, to equip ourselves each day by your word and by being in fellowship, by not letting things come in between us, Lord. And let us, oh God, have the victory in Christ Jesus. Let us not be, oh God, victims, Lord, but let us be victors, God, in Jesus' name. Just put your hand up and say, Lord, just let me be a victor in the name of Jesus. Your victory, Lord. And sometimes that's the way of humility is victory. You may not see it in front of your eyes. That's what Pastor's getting at. That the ways of God, sometimes, like we said, to go up, you got to go down. To be everything God wants you to be, sometimes you need to humble yourself and wait on His time to open the door. But, Lord, we want to be your people in these last days. I want to be your person, Lord. I want to be your girl, Lord. I want to be your tube, Lord, that you could flow and touch in this world, we pray, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, watch over us and protect us as we go. Cover us with the blood of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
God bless you all. May every household be safe and sound. Through the name and the blood of Jesus, as Pastor Angela already prayed, thank you for keeping us safe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.